We continue our learning Lili Nishmas Davi Ben Menachem Rishon Chan Yaakov Ben Pinchas Leio. We are in Bava Kama Periches Mishna Aleph. Hachovel b'chaveru chayav alav mishum chamisha dvarim. Person who injures his friend is chayav to pay for five things. Benezek, which is, and we'll explain each of these in detail. Nezek is for the injury, b'tzar for the pain, b'ripoy the medical bills, b'sheves for unemployment, and uvavoshes for embarrassment. So the Mishnah now says benezek ketzad. How exactly do we evaluate nezek? Let's say the perpetrator blinded the person's eye, or this he cut off his hand, or he broke his leg. We view him as if he's a slave that is sold in the marketplace. And we evaluate what was he worth before the injury and what's he worth after the injury, and you're going to pay the difference. Now, where do we learn the idea that you're going to pay at all for chovel b'chaver? In fact, the Torah says ayin tachas ayin, which taken literally means that we take an eye for an eye. So the Gemara spends a lot of time daf pei gimel, pei dalad, trying to see how I know that this actually refers to mamon. The way the Rambam describes it is that the Torah obviously had in mind that you're going to pay money and we're not going to inflict pain or injury into the perpetrator, based on the following. The pasuk says, "V'lo sikhu kofer lenefesh rotzeach ashehu rasha lamos." The pasuk in Parshas Maaseh, where it says that we don't take ransom for murder. So if you don't take ransom for murder, that implies, for the life of murderer, you can't take ransom. He's supposed to be killed. But if, let's say, it's just a limb that's wounded, so then we would take ransom. So that may be one of the sources that we allow mamon. But certainly we have a tradition that ayin tachas ayin is not to be taken literally. One of the other explanations the Gemara offers is the fact that if you take the person's eye, so it could be said the victim lost his eye and that's all that happened. But if you now take the eye, take a limb of the perpetrator, so it could be that that's going to cause him death. Now you can't, if it eye for an eye means it has to be equal. But if so, you tell me the victim only lost a limb, and now by taking the limb of the perpetrator, you end up killing him. So that's not allowed. So that's why we say the Torah must be referring to mamon. So the Mishnah here speaks about it, and not only that, it mentions tzar is pain. We'll have to see how we evaluate pain as well, but the person who inflicted the wound has to pay for the pain. The pasuk says petzah tachas patzah. That's considered an extra pasuk, and it teaches us that even if even a person who causes permanent injury to someone else and is paying for the limb that he cut off, whatever it may be, that's no longer functional, he still has to pay from petzah tachas patzah for the pain that he caused him. We don't say, well, once you pay for the limb, so you're taking care of everything. No, there's a special payment of pain. Ripui, based on the pasuk of Rapo Yirapei in Pashas Mishpatim, when it comes to Shevet, it says, Rak Shivto, Yitain Shivto, is unemployment, the fact that he's resting, is unable to work. And Boshas, based on the pasuk in Devarim, Vehechazika Bimavushav, Vikatzosayas Kapa, that's a case where you have two people fighting and a woman sees that her husband is losing the fight, comes in and gets involved, and the hechazik shilut takes hold of mibushav, his private parts, the area that's embarrassing. Vikatzosas kapa, there also we don't take that literally, that we cut off our hand, but rather it means that we pay, and that's boshes. So Mishnah had asked benezek ketzad. So how is it that you pay nezek? So if, as we said, he blinded his eye, cut off his hand, broke his leg, we view him as if he were a slave, and now you pay, you're going to pay the difference. What was the victim worth before? What's he worth now? When he sold as a slave in the marketplace, what would the value be? Now, other Rishonim, that's way many Rishonim learn. Some question that, after all, if you think about this injury is a permanent injury. A slave, if he's someone who sells himself as an Eved Ivri, so the difference in value is only going to affect 6 years. So, and this, we're talking about something that's permanent, and therefore, others claim that we're speaking about the value of an Eved Kanani who sold forever, and that's the difference, and that's how we evaluate the Nezek. What about Tsar? Says the Mishnah, Tsar, Kiva'o b'shvud of masmer, v'afilu al tziparno, makom she'eno sechabur. If, let's say, the perpetrator burned him with a spit or with a nail, even in a place, even on his tziporin, even on his fingernail, where there's no chabura, so there's no injury, there's no nezek payment. Here there's just tsar. This is what we call tsar shelo b'makom nezek. Still, we have to evaluate the tsar. Omnin kama adam kayotze bazeh rotzeli tolios mitzdarkach. The literal translation means we evaluate how much would a person, another person, be willing to be paid in order to go through this pain. Now, that's a little bit difficult. Generally speaking, a person wouldn't want any money in the world, or at least it would have to be a large sum of money in order for a person to have someone inflict pain in them. And therefore, and the general rule is that we try to be lenient for the perpetrator. We want him to pay, want him to be compensation. We want him to be able to do tshuva. So we wouldn't possibly, or this would be a large sum of money. So rather what it means is if a person, the Gemara explains it, let's say the person was sentenced by the court, by the government, by the non-Jewish government to be burned with the spit, as this the example gave, or to have a certain amount of pain, already we know there's going to be a limb that's being cut off. He's already going to have some type of injury that they're going to give him. The question is, what would he pay for anesthesia so he doesn't have to go through that pain? So that's the way we evaluate the pain. Then the Mishnah says, Ripui hikoa chayler apostol. How do you pay for healing? Well, if a person hits someone, you have to pay for the medical bills. Let's say the perpetrator said, well, I'm a doctor, I can heal you myself, I don't have to pay anything. So the Gemara says enough pay hey, that the victim is able to say, I'm not interested in you healing me, I'm not going to trust you, I'll have someone else, I want the money instead. There actually are two options when it comes to paying. On the one hand, you could go to Beis Din, and basically say, okay, let's look at this injury and what's going to be the process, what's going to be the healing process, the medical bills, how do we evaluate that for the next month, let's say, until the person will completely heal, then they give, and there's a lump sum, and that's the appraisal, and that's what the perpetrator is going to pay. If that's possibility number one. So the other possibility is that, no, he says, I'm not interested in paying all that money. All right, I'll pay day by day. The possibility is that you'll be healed in a much shorter period of time. He may end up losing based on that, but he has that possibility as well. Then the Mishnah says, Alu bot smachim. So let's say there were blisters that alu lo, that arise on the person as a result of the wound. So when he has, so the Mishnah says, depends on whether that's really the result of the wound or not. If you're going to tell me that they develop later, but we can say the doctors can determine that this is based on the maka, based on the wound, based on the injury of the perpetrator, then he has to pay for that as well. This also, we're going back to those two options. If there was a lump sum that was assessed and he was willing to pay that, so then olubot smachim is not his problem. But if you're going to pay, let's say, day by day, so of course, this could be months later, so you're still going to be obligated to pay. Shalom machmas hamaka, though pa. But if it's not because of the maka, so then it's not the result of the wound, the doctors determine, and therefore the perpetrator does not have to pay. Let's say you had a wound, it healed, and then it came back, and it healed and came back again. Chayver opposed to the one who inflicted the wound has to continue to pay. This is all we assume a result of the original maka. But again, this would also be only relevant the person who chose to pay day by day. But if he paid that lump sum from the beginning, we wouldn't say, well, it keeps coming back. That's not something we'd have to pay for. We already paid. The lump sum was all the way at the beginning based on the appraisal. Chayso, kol tsarka, let's say the wound completely healed. Now it came back for some other reason that we determine is not from the original wound, so that is not the perpetrator's problem to pay for. Sheh, that's how do you pay for unemployment, the loss of time, the loss of work. Rona sokilu huk shomer kishuin. We view him as if he is a cucumber watcher. What we're pointing out is that since this person who was, since the victim now is unable to work, so the person has to pay, already paid. We assume that paying for the decrease in value, let's say he was someone who was capable of doing real work, so that's paid in the Nezek already. We already paid for the difference in the Eved, what you're worth, what you are worth, and what you're worth now. Now unemployment is just paid on, is just based on the fact that with this permanent moon that you have, you can only be a cucumber watcher. So therefore, you're going to pay him for the loss of work of a cucumber watcher. Shekavar nasan lo demei yadu demei regla, as we explained, by he paid for the injury already. So the perpetrator now is already had already compensated for reducing him from some type of occupation that paid him a lot of money to the way he is right now. Since he can only do this type of work, that's what you pay for the time that he's unable even to do that kind of job. That would be, let's say, where he can't, as long as he can work as a cucumber watcher, let's say he broke his arm or he cut off his arm, so now he can't do regular work, but he can walk around to watch the cucumber patch. Let's say he broke a leg and he can't be walking around. Some say maybe one leg is still okay, he can limp around a little bit. Some say no, certainly he's unable to, maybe one leg he still can. Different opinions, but either way, whether it's one leg or two legs that are no longer functional, now you pay him not as a cucumber watcher, but as a doorkeeper, and for the time that he's unable to work, that's what you are going to pay him. This is all true if the person doesn't have a skill. Let's say there's a skill that he has, even with a broken leg and even a broken arm, he's able to somehow do perform that skill. So then you do have to pay for the time lost as at these particular professions. What about Boshes? Boshes asked the Mishnah, how do you pay for that? All depends on who's doing the embarrassing and who is embarrassed. The different opinions about this. Some Rishonim claim that if a person is disgraced by a lowly individual, a very undignified person, that is the highest payment of shame. And others say, no, that's not true. He's a lowlife. He's who cares? He embarrasses me. It means nothing. And if you're embarrassed by a very chashuv person, maybe he has the right to embarrass me. So that's not so. If I'm embarrassed based on his injury, so that's not so. That's not so embarrassing. And therefore, a middle class person, maybe the highest payment is what we're able to find. And of course, the misbayesh as well. The higher status of the victim, the worse the embarrassment. Then the Mishnah says, "Hamavayish es ha'arom." Someone who embarrasses someone who's naked. And remember, this embarrassment is not just embarrassment alone. It's very much, it could be, but there's also maybe other things. There's an injury, and because of the injury, now it's exposed. A person is embarrassed just to walk around the way they're walking, as an injury on their face, let's say. So this is that's also a payment. The embarrassment, the boshes, is part of all of the other payments as well, because there's an injury. They may nezek tar, and Boshes as well. According to Tosfos, when we speak about a Mavayesh HaSa'arom, we're speaking about a person who, let's say, spits on someone who's Aram, who's naked, or slaps the person. So that's those activities make him are certainly embarrassing, as much embarrassing to a person who's naked as a person who's clothed. But other things, the fact that he's Aram, he's walking around naked anyway, so obviously he's not disgraced at all from that. Why should I be chayv to pay for Boshes? He's already willing to embarrass himself, it's not going to bother him. According to Rashi and the Rambam, we're speaking about a case where this person who's naked is shamed. How? What happened was the wind came and lifted up his clothing a little bit, and now he's a little bit naked, and then someone came along and lifted it even more. So there the halacha is that the halacha will be that he pays for Boshes, but it's not going to be as much as disgracing someone who's wearing clothing. So because this person, because then you embarrass them even more, because then you, as opposed to someone who already was somewhat unclothed. Hamavayishas asuma, v'hamavayishas hayashen, chayav, a person who embarrassed someone who's blind, he emotionally feels it, so even though he can't see, someone who's sleeping, he's going to be chayv. Now, the person we're speaking about sleeping, it applies assuming that the person who, after he woke up, he realized that someone embarrassed him. So even though he didn't realize the boshes at the time that it was done, nonetheless, he felt it afterwards. The halacha is that you have to pay. Let's say he never found out about it at all. So that's a machlokas, whether or not you would have to pay boshes for that. Then the Mishnah says, "V'yashin shebi'esh." Let's say a person, while he was sleeping, he embarrassed someone. He kicked someone in his sleep, fell on top of someone, fell off the bed on top of someone. Putter, so there he doesn't have to pay. He may have to pay for injury, that, but certainly not for boshes. He had no intention to cause disgrace to the other person. Nafaman agag v'hizik u'bi'esh. Someone fell off a roof and caused someone injury. And at that time, obviously it embarrassed the person as well. Embarrassed because of the injury. Chayv al nezek u'parto la boshes. He's chayv to pay for the nezek, but not on the boshes. And it, why? Because he boshes is all based on intention. The pasuk says, and the Mishnah quotes the pasuk Shenamar, v'shalcha yada. This is the woman who's trying to protect her husband in this fight. V'hechazika b'mevushav. So what do we learn from the word v'hechazika? Eino chayv al boshes ad she'ed miskavin. Has to be that you have kavana. If you don't have kavana, so then so you're not going to be chayv. So let's say talk about the person who fell off the roof. It applies even if he fell because he was blown off, let's say by a normal wind. You have to pay for injury, obviously for nezek tar ripui and sheves, but not for embarrassment. Now let's say it was a strong wind though that was unusual. So then he only has to pay for nezek. He doesn't have to pay for the others as well. And just one other point before we continue, the next mission is to be aware of the idea of paying for Nezek in general. The Gemara says what we assume that when it comes to Nezek, you only chayv to pay for Nezek if it's judged by mumchim. People have smicha, a direction from Moshe Rabbeinu, which is only true in Eretz Yisrael. And that's the case that outside of Israel, in Bavel and Chutz Laaretz, known monetary disputes could be litigated according to Torah law. Nonetheless, there's a concept called shlichusai ka'avdinon, where we say that the batei dinim in Chutz Laaretz and Bavel are considered the shlichim, are considered the messengers, the agents of the batei dinim in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore they do have the right to litigate certain things. And the Gemara says it's only cases that are, number one, we call shchiach, that they're common, and number two, there's a chesron kiss, there's a potential financial loss. So those cases, let's say cases of loans, cases of a sale, person of admission, people who are co-fair on a loan, person who deny liability of something. So those are things that have to be paid and can be judged even in Chutz Laaretz. What about also take cases of shein and regel? So that we assume the person is muad l'chatchila. So that's considered an adam, also adam muad l'olam. So those cases are well. There's chisaron kiss, and those are cases that are going to be common. Perek Ches Mishnah Bei Zechom Mi Adam Mi Beshor. So continuation, we're showing that Adam has more payments than a shor. Sha Adam Mishalim Nezek Tzari Pershavas Uboshes Umishalim Demei Velados. A person pays for all these five things, and also for the value of the offspring, let's say of a miscarriage, and we discussed that in the past. Veshor based on injury of a pregnant woman, but veshor eno mishan ela nezek upata midevei volados. When it comes to a shor, person's ox causes damage, animal causes damage. So all you pay for is nezek, and you don't pay for the others. Take the pasuk v'chi natzu anashim v'nagvu shahara. Two people are fighting and they push into a pregnant woman, where the woman doesn't die. You have to pay for the value of the fetus. Nasan biflim means the dayanim make a decision, but that's only men. That's only when the human being causes damage. But Shor does not pay for Demei Velados, and he only pays for Nezek because it says in the Pasuk, Ve'ish ki tein mum ba'amiso. What's mum ba'amiso? The ish, where a man inflicts a wound in his friend. Ish ba'amiso, velo shor ba'amiso. Only a man who inflicts a wound and not a shor, you're not going to pay for all of the payments. The only thing you're going to pay for is Nezek.